Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
We do have on the line our pastor who has been helping us clear up some confusion, things that we don't clearly understand. Pastor Banda has been here, patient as ever, to give us understanding of these things. When I ask the questions, he's ever ready to give an answer, a well-seasoned, well-regulated answer, so that he can clarify even the foggiest of minds, such as mine. Pastor Terry Banda, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Good afternoon, Naye. Thank you so much for having me, and good afternoon to our viewers, to our listeners.
Thank you very much, Mfunes. We do apologize once again for all the technical glitches that may have led us to be at this point right now, but it's better late than ever. Our question for today, Mfunes, is it wrong to question the authority of senior pastors or church leaders like elders, for example?
All right. Now, let me get the word question correctly. Is it to simply ask them a question based on what decision they have made, or is to challenge the decision they have made as to oppose it?
Both of them, Pastor, I suppose, and I'll give you examples. We have Miriam and Aaron, who felt they too can be in the authority of Moses, as Moses is not the only one who was called. There, it was not just about decision. It was the position of authority, and that's one side of the challenge coin. The other side of the challenge coin, it's when you don't trust that Moses is going in the right direction. Moses, this direction you're leading us in is taking us to the Red Sea. There is no path in the Red Sea. I think we should go to the other side, where we'll be able to find our way around the Sinai Peninsula. Now, that's another challenge. So I'd assume both are being, the inquirer is curious on both.
Okay, so let me start by saying, in the first place, no. It is not wrong to respectfully question leaders, because I'm sure at the end of the day you want to understand what is their basis for decision making,
right?
And is it possible that they have missed one or two things as they were making their decision?
Right.
However, it must be done in the spirit of humility, in the spirit of order, and in the spirit of love, not in the spirit of rebellion, gossip,
okay,
or division. Okay, so in Hebrews 13, verse 17, the Bible says, "Obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls." So leadership is ordained by God for our own good.
Right.
However, we must admit that they are not infallible.
Okay.
So to this end, Ellen White in Testimonies for the Church, volume 5, page 726 says, "The Church of Christ is organized for service. Every member should respect and honor those placed in positions of authority. Yet none are to be worshipped or obeyed blindly." So with that in mind, elders and pastors are ordained for service,
right,
not control.
Yeah.
Respect is essential, but blind obedience is not biblical, Naye.
Right. So that sounds well and good on paper, and I suppose since you're a pastor, you're delivering it that so well. But then again, when you challenge someone's authority, I don't know if there is a way of doing that respectfully, because the moment you mount a challenge, the person whose authority you are challenging never feels respected. They always feel disrespected. How dare you disrespect me by thinking I am going in the wrong direction? How dare you disrespect me by telling me that I am failing to feed my flock? Moses, did you call us here in the desert to kill us with starvation? Moses, every time he spoke to God, he was irate. He was angry. He felt disrespected. Even the priest whose sons were being disrespectful there to God, when people came and said, "Hey, your sons are running amok at church, eating food meant for priests. They're not doing right. They're sleeping with girls in the church, and we want a king. He went to God and God said, no. They're not disrespecting you. They're disrespecting me. So I'm wondering, is it ever possible to do it respectfully? I hear you saying you must respectfully mount your challenge, but I don't know if there is a way of respectfully doing it, because a challenge by its nature is disrespectful to some people. How do you respond to that?
Okay, so one of the things is that even as we raise this challenge, we also need to be mindful of the temperament of this individual that we are dealing with, and so approach them based on their comfort zone, so
right,
to speak,
right.
So that they don't see in you an engagement of opposition.
Right.
And so we should also be aware, however, that this agitation is, in a sense, normal, because we know that even as we are leading, we have people who probably just want to be against us.
Right.
And there are those who just wish they were the ones in
authority. Yeah.
And so they're just looking for a way to make things tough for us. So
right.
The leader will also have these conflicting ideas in their minds as they are looking out to listen to you.
Right.
However, Matthew 18, verse 15 going down to 18 also does give us an approach that is pretty helpful.
Right.
It says, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his faults in private.
Absolutely.
Okay, so if this leader does appear to have taken the wrong route, or it's a committee that has taken the wrong route, we might want to approach the chair of the committee and just begin to find out how they arrived at that particular conclusion.
Right.
Meanwhile, you feel that they should have gone a different way, and you have clear-cut evidence and proof that why you feel they should have gone that way.
Right.
So in a committee setup, for example, you may use the church manual, you may use the spirit of prophecy, you may use the Bible to back up your claim, and just do it in a spirit of wanting to learn.
Right.
Because we also know that while there is the letter, there's also the spirit of any command that is given.
Right.
So as I approach these people to find out why they did that, I must show I'm doing it in the spirit of wanting to learn.
Right, right. As leaders, how do you ever know when Unaye challenges you, he is doing it in a spirit of wanting to know?
So it's his demeanor as he is coming to me. Does he look confrontational? Is he looking as though he's brutal and he's wounded and he's been sent, you know, as a wounded buffalo to come and challenge the system?
Okay.
Or is he indeed, you know, seeking, I'll say sheepishly seeking to know why what has happened is different from what he has read in scripture, for example.
Right.
And the tone of voice also will show it. The expression of the body language also will show it. But if he seems to be in a hurry and he seems to be pulling, and another point that seems to agitate when you seem to be speaking for the multitude.
Right.
You go to it and say, we the church feel that what the committee has done is wrong.
Right.
Are you sure it's you, the church, who appointed you as
spokesperson.
A spokesperson for the church in the first place?
Yeah.
So why don't you speak for your position and say and show why you're standing on that particular position?
Right.
That, I think, will help me calm down and begin to think through.
I can tell you now, without fear of contradiction, Pastor, that you see the way I'm talking to you now. There are many, many pastors who have no problem with the way I'm talking and the questions that I ask. Same Naya, same way of asking things. Some pastors feel I am disrespectful. How dare I challenge a pastor? Somebody needs to nip this Naya in the proverbial butt. Somebody needs to clip his wings. Same way of speaking. Some feel, yes, this is good. We need clarity. Same person, but different recipient. This person is disrespectful. I'm not quite sure, Mfundisi, if there is a way. Perhaps we want to guide as to the one who is challenging. What do we do? Same person, and yet is viewed differently by different recipients of these challenges.
Well, Naya, you also want to appreciate that even leaders have a background.
Right.
And they have particular experiences with individuals in the past.
Right.
And you will agree with me that past experience has a way of interfering with what is in the present.
Yes.
So if I have had a background, for example, an experience with a taxi driver who sounded like you sound.
Yes.
Okay. And he was, he was very, very bad, and he was quite, aggressive.
Mm.
And then I come and meet Naye now in church, and
right.
he sounds similar to that.
Right.
So I am
right.
bound to stand in the defensive.
Okay.
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 That is one part. It's also possible that while we have come from this meeting, I, as a leader, also had a challenge to pull in a particular direction.
Right.
Except that the masses that were there, you understand that the church is a democratic movement.
Right.
So the masses who were there seemed to have pulled in one direction, which I was not really for, but because they were in the majority and
right.
they were able to court despite my ability to court.
Right.
So I'm still trying to adjust to what has happened in the meeting and the ill feeling I had in the process.
Right.
So your coming is like you are rubbing it in, trying to question our integrity. But again, I know that according to the principles of committee meetings,
right.
I'm supposed to stand by what we have agreed, even
yes.
though it was against what I felt.
Absolutely.
Should be done.
Absolutely.
Okay. So it's an issue of temperaments and also past experience and what. How we have arrived at that particular decision.
So let me see if I understand you well. You're saying questioning authority is absolutely fine. What the problem
yes.
is how you do it, one, and secondly, mm-hmm. how the recipient is in their mind themselves. So there could be a combination that is mismatched here. A person who themselves is a wounded bird who's always looking mm-hmm. out for somebody to wound them further, like a taxi driver in the past. And then there's mm-hmm. you who would probably be saying the right thing at the wrong time, perhaps to the wrong
yeah.
person, perhaps even in the wrong way. So you could be speaking truth in a lying way.
And that is why, Naya, it becomes important when I notice something wrong. First of all, I must admit that it's God who has given me the privilege
right.
to notice this thing.
Right.
But then I must also appreciate I am human. I'm bound to falter and
right.
fail things. I'm bound to mess things up. So before I take the step to approach this individual, let me take time out for a silent prayer.
Right, right.
And ask God to really guide me on how to approach this individual, how to present the case, and when to do it so that we have a mutual understanding as we approach this matter. Because when I do, I want this individual to sit down with me and ask, okay, so what did you read? Where did you read? And
right.
how did you interpret what you read against what we have decided?
Right.
So
right.
once I find myself at a place where we are able to engage into a dialogue in this manner, then I know we are close to winning.
Final question, and I'll let you go, Mfundisi. And then we have a situation where, and I understand the question I'm about to ask now is slightly unfair to pastors and elders and all these people who have been ordained, but I need to ask it for purposes of you giving an answer to it nonetheless. The expectation from the lay person is that if you're ordained, you have been given the support, you've got the stamp of approval from heaven. God is with
right.
you and you have the Holy Spirit. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit and you come and you encounter a person who's going to speak in any way they speak, do you not have the Holy Spirit guiding you to know, yes, he sounds like he's confrontational, but the truth of the matter is he's speaking truth. So ignore how he sounds. Ignore what appears to be confrontational. Take the truth in. Why is it that people who are in leadership, whether it is elders or pastors, don't seem to have that spiritual, inherently spiritual ability to discern that, this one is being loud for absolute nothing. I'll take the substance in what he's saying and ignore everything else. This one is lying. Like Jesus would know, but the question they're asking is not for knowledge. They're trying to trap me. Is it possible that perhaps those people, whether it's an elder or a pastor, who respond as human beings are not really inspired by the Holy Spirit to respond in the spirit and not in the flesh?
That's a beautiful question. That question actually is one of the reasons why the ordained are among the most stressed individuals
right.
in society.
Right.
It's because we have this high expectation of them.
Yeah.
We take them to be like Jesus or an angel from heaven.
Yes.
But don't forget that they are still human.
Absolutely.
And just as you are going through the process of sanctification, they too are going through that process.
Right.
So they are also being still going through the process of being made perfect in the likeness of Christ Jesus.
Yeah.
So there's a difference between their office and their individual level of faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
Their office might just be based on their academic paper, for example. I'm
right.
a pastor with a BA from this university.
Right.
And so because of that, I'm given this position here. But that position and the paper do not really mean that I have matured
hey.
In the faith to be able to discern these things. So I also need to be given space to grow and rise up to those levels of maturity to be able to now discern.
Yeah.
So if we as a church also understood that even a pastor is also growing in faith.
Yes.
And he also needs to, also needs to be understood from that point of view.
Yeah.
It would become easier because then we'll be mutual ministers one to another.
Yeah.
As it were.
Hey, wow. Yes, preach, preacher.
I must add a disclaimer. That even though the pastor also is still growing in
right.
the process of sanctification,
right.
that does not give the church member the right and the privilege to undermine him,
absolutely.
Demean him, and look down him.
Absolutely.
Okay? And it's possible that Naye, your level of faith might even be higher than the level of the pastor's faith.
Okay.
Just like it was that the level of experience with God for David
right.
was higher than the level of experience with God for Saul.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
But
yeah.
at no point does Oof. David look down on Saul.
Yeah.
Okay, he still honors him as an ordained man of God.
The anointed
says,
of the Lord.
I will not touch you.
Yes.
Because you are anointed. So we still need to give the anointed
Oof.
The respect due to them, even because of their office.
Yeah.
And the calling, even though they appear that they are lower in experience and in knowledge than the common church member.
Wow. And just speaking of it, a lot of examples are coming to mind now. Even Paul himself had a thorn in his flesh.
Right.
Come now.
That's
right. Yeah, but thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right, Mpunisi, thank you very much. I'm looking forward to our conversation after 3. Don't forget we have the conversation after 3. Yay.
Not a problem. You have a blessed afternoon together with our listeners.
Thank you very much, Mpunisi. I appreciate it. Wow. Pastor Banda, did you hear Pastor Banda? He has been sent to me to set me to, that's what I'm looking for right there. To hit it right straight in the forehead. If Naya chooses to ignore truth spelled out so clearly, that's Naya's problem because Pastor Banda has laid it out. And I did ask all those uncomfortable questions. No one then will say, you were just being nice to Pastor Banda. I asked those uncomfortable questions and he dealt with them. All of them, and you hear it for yourself.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.